and 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, if you missed any of the show today, download the free iHeartRadio app, and you can podcast the show, any parts of it. Hour one, Dan Beckerman, who's the president of AEG and explained the name change at Staples Center, joined the show. He was terrific. He laid it all out for you. Bill Oram, our Laker insider, also on the show in hour one. Andy McCullough was on last hour, talked about the Dodgers. So there's a lot of stuff in today's show. If you missed any of it, download the free iHeartRadio app and podcast the show whenever it's convenient for you. Also, you can listen to us live streaming anywhere in the country. Just had a caller from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who listens on the app, Rodney.
Love that. Been to Grand Rapids, Fred?
As a child, I had been to Grand Rapids. I can't really remember much about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very
grand, a lot about Grand Rapids.
Yeah, well, it's very grand. Why do you think they called it Grand Rapids?
Is the Great Gatsby great, Fred? That's how you describe things?
Right. He was great, and that was grand. You get the moniker that you so deserve. Okay, now a man who has had many memories at Staples Center. Some good, some not so good. I think there was a time
He's got a lot of them.
Wasn't there a time he almost got thrown out of Staples
Center? That's what I was going to say. He got thrown out. Wasn't he on the court a couple times and he got thrown out?
So one of our callers
on the bench?
Yeah, brought up Kobe's game-winning shot against the Phoenix Suns. I believe it was 2006. And Kobe hits the shot at the buzzer, and the first person to hug him was not Phil Jackson. It was not Smush Parker or Kwame Brown. It was Vic. And let's just say John Black was not thrilled about that.
Perhaps Vic will regale us with tales of past. Let's bring that man on now for the Daily Haiku at 2, Vic the Brick. And Vic, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Fred.
Hello, Vic.
And let's not go crazy. Let's not freak out. The building is still there. It's a building of bliss. It's the downtown hoop dojo. It's the downtown frozen dojo. Just went through a name change. That's all. The same building. It's the same memories. It's the same beautiful building with the same beautiful squads. So I'm not going nuts. But it's a great time to reflect.
Yes.
And talk about reflection. Rodney P., when you recollect the great USC-UCLA football stories of you in the hospital and coming out of the hospital and beating the Bruins at the Rose Bowl. It is such a riveting, compelling story, and I love it every year when you really get into it.
Thank you, Vic.
Love it. Love it, Rodney.
Thank you, buddy.
Willie Jackson.
Brilliant. Willie Jackson.
Willie Jackson. I'm checking in as Willie Jackson.
It's my stage name, Vic.
I love it. Executive producer, Rogan and Rodney Show. Relentless, multi-skilled, and a prince. Please put your hands together. It's Kevin Figgis.
Come on now.
Having the time of his life.
The great arc of audio, it all starts with this man. He's a rainbow. Ronnie Fazio.
I'm feeling you, VTB. Come on now.
Having the time of his life.
We had times of our lives in that building for the last, 20 years. I can comb through every year, every team, and come up with an incredible memory. Of course, the Lakers championships, the Kings championships. I believe, with the two apex moments for Lakers fans, Kings fans, hoisting two Stanley Cups on the ice in the downtown frozen dojo. Unbelievable.
Yes.
Lakers, of course. Kobe, Shaq. The memories are so insanely meaningful to us and continue to resonate for the rest of our lives. I just want to go back to the beginning when AM 570 LA Sports was just starting to get all radio chops on the air in Los Angeles. It was back in 1998. If you remember, Staples Center broke ground March 26th, 1998, and we went live, of course, from our radio station, play-by-play of the breaking of the ground. And there was Kobe, of course, with a hard hat. I'm down there with Kobe, down there with Shaquille and Luc Robitaille. Everyone's wearing the hard hats, cutting ribbons. And you remember what that ground was. I mean, it was basically...
Ground.
There was nothing there. It was an insane move by AEG, an incredible, savvy business move. And Staples was there as the original brand sponsor of the building. And we broke ground, and that was an unbelievable day as we broadcasted live for the Ciudad. But for me, the memories are so rich, so fertile.
Talk about when you got thrown out, or John Black tried to throw you out.
The playoff game with Phoenix, 2006.
Right.
And Kobe had yet to hit a playoff game-winning shot in his career at that point. So I am going nuts because I feel it. I mean, Kobe's on. I mean, you could just feel it. His shots have an incredible touch. They always did, but on this day, it was a daytime game. And he hits the game winner against Phoenix in the playoffs. And I surge through the crowd. I go through the Laker girls. I'm on the court. I've got the poncho. I've got the fur. I've got the Laker chain made by my brothers in Linwood, stainless steel Laker chain, you know, Laker bling, just going wild. And Kobe is doing a primal scream for the first time, I believe, in his career. And I'm like right behind Kobe with my poncho and just, you know, punching my heart for Kobe. And say, Kobe, you're the man. You are the man. You are the man. He's the man. And just, you know, it was just such a moment of exhilaration. And of course, that planted the seeds for the great back-to-back-to-back. And when a million people hit the streets for that first championship,
Vic,
at Staples Center.
Vic, wait a minute. You kind of left out some of the story. You went down, you were pounding your chest, you were with Kobe. You were telling him you're the man.
It was a moment of exhilaration.
You were in the poncho. You had the chain. You looked like some sort of lunatic that snuck onto the court, although everybody knew you. But something happened after that, didn't it, Vic?
Well, obviously, I was reprimanded for going on the court.
That goes without saying, Vic.
And I took a lot of heat for it, but, you know, I would do it again. I took heat. Of course I took heat. But it was a moment of bliss. It was the makings of the Mamba. It was the makings of the Mamba. And that was just one of the many incredible moments with Kobe Bryant. But who can forget? I don't want to dwell on the negative, Fred. I'm dwelling on the positive here.
Yeah, Fred.
Yeah, but the negative was so much more fun.
Well, I was reprimanded heavily. The great Don Martin had my back. And I basically went on the court maybe a few times more, but that was about it. But I was definitely, I was quelled. I was quelled.
You were quelled?
I was quelled a bit. But then there were moments of, you know, Laker victories in San Antonio when I was surged into the crowd at San Antonio, and I was somehow within the Laker bench, but that's another story. But who can forget the championship parades in front of Staples Center? Who can forget when the Mad Dog, Mark Mattson, mesmerized the millions?
I want to say thank you to the great fans of Los Angeles and to the city. It's been a great season. Thank you. Y para la gente hispana, les decimos que no estamos satisfechos con tres. Por lo tanto, vamos por cuatro.
From Stanford.
All day. We'll never forget that. Mad Dog getting everyone muy loco. The championship parade. And of course, wrapping it all up, Shaquille.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Those are my most precious memories, those championships. And of course, the Mamba, watching the artist do his thing. And the memories will continue, but those memories, I believe, are the foundation of every sports fan in Los Angeles.
Think you've seen it all.
Well, we've all been there. We all share in the glory. We all share in the bliss. We share in the ecstasy. We share in the agony. That's what makes sports so especial.
One that I remember, and I cannot find the audio, but it was funny. If you can ever find the video of it, this is when the Lakers are playing the Celtics in the finals. I don't remember if it was 2010 or 2012, or 2010 or 2008, but Doc Rivers was still the head coach of the Celtics at the time. And Vic, you walk up to, you know, the microphone and ask a question like only you can ask about the Warrior mindset or something and facing off against the Lakers, yeah. And they're so tough. And Doc's first response was, well, I kind of know who you want to win, you know, because Vic is dressed up in his fur and his purple and gold. Another exchange when the Utah Jazz were here and Darren Williams was playing for the Jazz.
Yeah.
And he couldn't keep a straight face taking a question from Vic because Vic is just decked out in all of his Laker gear. And they're like, this guy actually works, is working the game, or is he a fan that just found his way down into the tunnel into the media area?
Oh, D. Will and I had some exchanges.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The opposition was not happy with my line of questioning.
I can only wonder why, Vic.
I just spoke the truth. You know, from a pure perspective.
Your question for Darren was like, Darren, when the Lakers are here and they're raining down that, you know, MDE, Mad Def Energy, how do you keep up? How do you possibly compete with the Lakers when they're performing? Like, how am I supposed to answer that?
Oh, so I have some crazy, passionate exchanges with Popovich as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Popovich, you know, basically, you know, was playing along with it, but also it really, you know, pissed Popovich off that there was so much pro-Laker flavor in the press room. He couldn't take it. He wanted a totally neutral room. And, of course, I pushed the boundaries of purple and gold.
There's a Clipper experience, too. Didn't you have an issue with James Harden when he was still playing for Houston? I think his early days in Houston, and the Clippers had an issue with you and tried to yank your credential because they said you pissed off James Harden?
Well, back in the day, well, I originated the BAM cam, I called it.
Yes, the BAM cam. That's right. Bamboo
what was
cam.
The BAM cam?
It was a newest form of camera technology, and I had it mounted. It was a GoPro, the original GoPro, when it first came out. And Dave Cardona and Marcus Saito from Team Zen Jacobs, they put together a GoPro camera, mounted it on a piece of bamboo. So I was able to wield the BAM cam at will while I was walking around the downtown Hoops Ocho.
You put a camera on a piece of bamboo.
Correct.
Kind of like one of those long sticks you can put it on now.
This is pre-stick.
Okay.
No one was putting a GoPro on a stick at that point.
All right. So you did, and you walked around with
I believe I was one of the originators.
You may have created it. You should have patented it.
But it was really very useful and really got me into some very tight, really tight spots quite easily because I was just able to whip it out. You whip out the BAM cam and start rolling.
I'm glad you referred to the BAM cam there.
And James Harden, of course, was having one of his crazy seasons, but he had just been growing the beard. You know, the beard was the beginnings of his identity as the beard. So I wanted to get some good beard stuff with him because my beard was growing. We're talking beard. And yeah. He got very, very upset and agitated that we were talking in the tunnel with a BAM cam and started, you know, complaining to management about it. And it wasn't the Houston Rocket management that gave me heat. It was actually the Clipper management that gave me heat at that time. Joe Safety was the PR maven at the time.
Yes, Joe Safety.
And they gave me a lot of heat for confronting James Harden. So there were some moments, some wacky moments for me inside the Staples Center. And the continuous bliss, that's all I can feel when I think of the Crypto.com arena now. It's still the memories. Like you say, Fred, memories are the moments.
Yep.
And the moments are everlasting and eternal. Well, it's an incredible building. When you think about the last 20 years, 21 years, incredible moments. And I've got an incredible haiku moment for you.
Oh,
from Busan. Yes.
Okay.
Right. Who I believe was thinking about LeBron James hundreds of years ago. Somehow he channeled his inner LeBron James when he wrote this haiku. See if you agree with me.
All right.
This haiku for you on this Wednesday, November the 17th. Confidently rising among vigorous young leaves, the hilltop castle. I'm feeling you. Busan. Was he thinking LeBron?
Nah, I don't know.
The vigorous young leaves are the young blood ball players all around him.
Okay.
And Bron is the hilltop castle. Ready to rock perhaps Friday against the hated Celtics.
Wait, the young leaves are what now, Vic?
The young blood ballers of the NBA. The young, vigorous young leaves. Confidently rising is Bron.
Oh, the league.
Among the vigorous young leaves.
Because the Lakers are old. Big.
Huh? Well, TNT is old. How old is TNT? 20?
Vic, he's the only one.
Yeah, THC, I think, is like the only one of the age of
well,
like
how old is Monk? How old is Monk?
Malik Monk might be 25.
There you go.
Maybe.
There's some young bloods.
God.
He's 23, Malik Monk.
Malik Monk's 23.
That's about
obviously,
it, Vic.
Listen, you guys know where I stand on the numbers. Experience is divine.
Yes.
And the Lakers are rich in experience.
Yes.
And we're what? 18 games in? How many? We've played a cockamamie 17, 18 games.
Right.
There's a very small smattering. And Bron's missed, what, nine, 10 games?
Yeah.
So until Bron plays regularly, this sample to me is meaningless. They're just holding on. I mean, everyone's like 500 except for Golden State in the West. Golden State's playing great ball, but no one else is really, running away from the pack in the West. Or the East. Do you think Washington's going to maintain the pace? You think the Wizards are going to maintain the pace?
Probably not.
No. So it's a very, very competitive league right now. It's exciting, but it's game to game. It's game to game. Same with the Lakers. They can win. They could lose any game without LeBron. With LeBron, I would say they're favorite every game. But you need a healthy LeBron. Were you waiting for that?
Okay. Well, then
I'm not going to go nuts. No, I'm not going nuts.
Don't go nuts, Vic.
You want to do a primal scream?
No.
Okay. Good.
It's lit. stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by everybody, Jacob and Ronnie. You get into trouble, you need the very best attorney in town. If you're in a slip and fall, if you're in a car accident, something happens to you, you need to call our guy.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
I don't know if I can call this breaking news or not. We kind of all assumed this was going to happen, but David Vasse did just tweet this a minute ago that both Corey Seager and Chris Taylor have officially turned down the Dodgers' qualifying offer. They are outright free agents, no compensation attached to their names if they decide to sign elsewhere.
No surprise.
No, not at all.
Are you surprised by this? Vasse also reporting that Mookie Betts told him he is not invited to Mookie's wedding.
Told who?
Vasse. Vasse was told by Mookie, Dave, you're not coming to my wedding.
Oh, that's shocking.
Well, obviously.
It's a small wedding. It's a small wedding.
Right.
Obviously, Mookie made the right decision there. But did you see this? I saw it a couple of minutes ago. It came down that the Yankees said Corey Seager might be too rich for their blood. Did you see that?
I did not see that report, Fred.
Didn't either, Fred. You made that up?
No, I didn't.
When trying to keep Dodger fans happy?
Yeah, when has anybody ever been too rich
exactly.
for the Yankees' blood, Fred?
Yeah, Fred.
I don't know. All I'm saying is, yeah, it was a Bleacher Report alert. And it basically said, yeah, he's a little out of their price range. Which is really good news for the Dodgers. And bad for Scott Boras if he's negotiating. Right? Also, Trevor Story has just declined the Rockies' $18.4 million qualifying offer. So there's another shortstop on the market. So you have Correa, Seager, Trevor Story, Marcus Semien, an infielder.
Correct.
Okay. So there are infielders available.
Vic, any insights on anything?
Well, this news is obviously a given. Seager's not going to take 18.4 when he could probably make 30, you know, 25 to 30 a year, multi-year deal. And we knew about CT3 obviously rejecting the 18.4 because he's so valuable. I am stunned that the Yankees balked, if that's true.
New York Daily News, Vic. I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah, the Daily News is a good source.
Carlos Correa and Corey Seager not planning to bring in expensive free agents such as.
Well, then the general manager, was that Cashman, should be looking for a new job because this Yankee team is drifting into mediocrity. They have a lot of problems. They're a team on a downward cycle, even though, you know, they have Judge and they have Stanton. And they got some sluggers, but they. Their defense is weak. They definitely need a shortstop. I'm going to take that with a grain of salt because the Yankees' payroll is always incredibly high.
Yes.
It could be just a negotiation tool, you know, trying to play, you know, trying to yank Scotty Boras' chain with Seager.
Well, you know, speaking of Dave and Mookie Betts, I just got a piece of audio from an exclusive that Vasse had with Mookie talking about his health in the offseason. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Seemed like that hip is feeling pretty good. How is it right now, and do you feel like you can just rehab it and avoid surgery?
Yeah, it feels great. It feels great. I don't foresee any type of surgery at all. I have to get a checkup one more time just to make sure everything's going good. But right now, yeah, everything's been great.
Is that surprising to you, considering how much pain you were in all year?
A little. But you know, once I was able to get the shot and feel better, nothing really came back and hasn't come back since. So, yes, it is surprising, and no, it's kind of not, because it did feel good towards the end of the year.
I'm sure a big relief for you, right?
Yeah, oh, huge. You know, trying to stay out from under the knife.
Well, that's good news. You hope it stays that way.
Stay away from the knife at all costs, Fred.
That's great news for Dodger fans that Mookie is healthy and doesn't have to have any surgeries because, you know, Mookie makes the Dodgers go, man. He's the energy. He is a specific hardball organic catalyst that makes the Azul go. Go, Mookie, go. I love you. Come on now.
Remember when you thought Mookie Betts was Mookie Wilson, Vic?
Mookie Blaylock.
Mookie Blaylock, that's right. Remember that too.
Yeah.
And then this
I was
last
Mookie-ized.
One of the faces of the Chargers defense could be playing on Sunday. There was a report yesterday that Joey Bosa was a close contact of someone who was exposed to COVID-19 or who tested positive for COVID-19. As of now, the initial report that he was actually diagnosed with COVID, now it says he was just a close contact. So from 5 days from the contact with no positive tests, he has the opportunity to actually play on Sunday night against Pittsburgh. Obviously a huge game for the Chargers, one they would need, and one they could obviously use the services of Joey Bosa in that game.
Yeah, you keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And hope he's okay to be able to go. Because let's put it like this. Given the way they played recently, they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, they do. And what's the deal on the close contact? I mean, you're a close contact, and then you have to have a couple of negative tests before you can play?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah.
5 days from your last contact with the person and no positive tests.
Right. Well, yeah, they need him. They need him. They're in that crossroads right now in the middle of the season where they need to figure out which way they're going, and he's certainly a big part of it.
This is an all-pro trench master. You need his heat. You need his pressure. The Chargers got to bring pressure. You got to bring pressure on Roethlisberger on Sunday night. And you need Tillery. I hope Tillery heals quickly as well. Hope he passes, you know, that cockamamie protocol with the COVID. It's necessary. And, you know, cross your fingers, both fans, that both, you know, Bosa and Tillery can play on Sunday night. Because, you know, Steelers are angry after that tie, you know, with the lowly Lions. I think Jay Goff is, wow. I mean,
well, that's one way to put it. Wow.
I was watching some of that game. I mean, Jay Goff, does he even belong in the NFL anymore? Rodney.
Oh, don't you dare.
Don't do that, Vic.
Has he gone into another dimension?
Don't do that.
Jay Goff gone to another dimension?
Don't do that, Vic. He's played well. He's played okay. You know, he's had his up and down.
He got the tie.
You know, early in the season, they played well enough to win some games, and they just didn't do it in the end. So, lost to some heartbreaking kicks, but he certainly belongs in the NFL, Vic.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
All right, two new Rams. So one will talk about being teammates with the other when we come back.
Now, your chance to put $1,000 in your pocket. Text the nationwide keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's WIN to 200-200. Good luck. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Sports.
They say your picture's worth a thousand words.
Yes, it is, Rodney Pete. Fred Rogan, Hump Day, and a beautiful November fall day in California, Fred.
Absolutely.
You cooking for Thanksgiving, Fred, next week?
I'm thinking about that, Rodney.
Okay, Fred. Okay.
I'm thinking about that.
All right.
There will be activities, I'll say
activities.
That.
Activities.
Yeah,
okay.
There will be activities.
All right.
I will not be specifically handling them.
No?
No. You don't trust me with that.
Don't trust you with the candied yams?
Don't trust me with that.
No?
No.
Sweet potato pie?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. You know my favorite part?
What?
The stuffing. I love the stuffing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love it. And the cranberry.
Don't mess up the stuffing.
Don't do that.
You do a lot of things, but don't mess up the stuffing.
Do not mess up the stuffing. Cranberries. Mm.
Some people try to go overboard with the stuffing, try to do too much with the stuffing.
That's a bad
call. Just keep it plain and simple.
Yeah.
Keep the stuffing simple.
Yeah.
Don't start adding extra stuff to the stuffing.
You know what we should do next week?
Yeah.
Best Thanksgiving recipes. Maybe some of our listeners will be interested in that.
Oh.
You know? As they get ready for Thanksgiving, maybe get a tip or two, do it early in the week, and then they can just add that to their meal.
There you go. I like that, Fred.
Kevin, will you write that down? Because, you know, I'll forget it in 15 seconds.
You write that down.
No, Fred's right. Because Fred's going to forget in 20 minutes, and then I'll forget tomorrow. So then there goes the idea.
Anytime I have an idea and I text Kevin, I go, write this down. Write it down. Because one of us has to remember it, and neither one of us will.
Neither of us are batting a high average when it comes to that, trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we're struggling with it.
Love it.
Okay, let's bring on now the proprietor of NightcastMedia.com. It's our buddy Nick Hamilton. Nick, how are you today?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
All good, Nick. You got ready for Thanksgiving?
As ready as I'm going to be. I'll be ready on Turkey Day when the food is on the table. That's when I'll be ready.
That's what I do. I just show up.
There you go. I'm going
straight out of the way and show up. Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
All right, Nick. So if you're not aware of who Nick is, Nick is around town more than anybody. He talks to everybody every week, and we love bringing him on because he brings us the latest stuff and the most current information. And Nick, you were listening in and involved in the Rams and Von Miller, right?
Yeah, I actually went up to San Francisco, or should I say Santa Clara, and watched that Monday night football game. I don't know if you call it much of a game, but had an opportunity to speak with Von Miller and really ask him what's it like being on the team, the same team as Odell Beckham Jr., as both of them made their debuts for the Rams Monday night. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, that's been my boy. That's been my boy, and I always see him in the offseason, but you know, it just kind of, you know, strikes me all the time. I think we said that probably like 12 times in the last 3 days. Bro, we on the same team, you know, and it's definitely been a movie. It's definitely been a good movie. Today, you know, is a bad scene, but, you know, I feel like we'll be able to fight out of this. I feel like we'll be able to recover from this. But, you know, having Odell on this team, man, it's great, man. That's my buddy, you know, on and off the football field. And we continue to gel. I continue to gel, and I'm excited. Like I said, this losing is definitely not fun, but playing today was fun. Going out there and, you know, feeling myself move around and be quick and have some great rushes, man. I had fun today, and, you know, I'm going to gather myself, take the good and the bad, and go into this bye week and figure it out. I feel excited about this football team. I feel excited about what we can do with the games that we have left on the schedule. And, you know, time to buckle up, you know, get this energy going, man, and let's go do it.
Now, the Rams only have 7 games left in this season. They got a big game. To me, they have 3 big games. They got one against Green Bay coming up after the bye. They have a trap game, I like to call, against Jacksonville. And then they got the Monday night showdown against Arizona. But for you, Rodney, how confident are you in this defense based upon what you've seen thus far?
Yeah, that's the shocking part of it. And look, I think, first of all, Von Miller's going to get in his groove. The bye week happens at the right time. I was a little surprised that he actually played on Monday night, given he coming off that ankle. I thought they'd rest him knowing that they had a bye week. But it was a part of it was good that he got some action with his teammates and kind of got a feel for it again. But he'll be all right. But I'm in their 3 losses. They were out physical, and that's something that we couldn't really say about that Rams defense over the last couple, 3 years, is that when they went into a ball game, they were going to be the more physical defense. And this year, it hasn't been the case. We saw them get kind of manhandled by Arizona and then dominated by Tennessee. And then the other night against San Francisco, a team that is struggling, and everybody in the world knew that they were going to try to run the football to protect Garoppolo, and yet they couldn't stop him. So that has got to be the concern. I think the offense and Stafford and what they do, you know, it was a rough night, but I think they'll get it together. But the concern for them to win a title, the defense has to be dominant. Has to be dominant, because you can't rely on the offense scoring 35 points a game anymore, especially when they go up against a good defense.
Yeah, I agree. And my concern is not so much the interior defense, because, like you said, we know what Von Miller brings. We know what AD brings. But to me, it's the secondary. Everybody not named Jalen Ramsey, to me, that's the biggest concern for me on that defense. And they got to be able to stop the run, because I saw them not be able to stop the run, and that was a huge concern throughout the entire game against the 49ers.
And I'll say this, too. It feels like there's a lot of confidence, because there's a lot of talented players. Like, we're gonna get this done. But it feel, and this is on both sides of the ball, that they're, especially in their losses, there hasn't been a whole lot of adjustments made. You know, once the game gets going, you kind of know the complexion of the game, and then it's time to kind of, okay, we got to adjust. They're doing this to us, and they're having success. We got to adjust to this, either in the second quarter or in halftime. We got to come in, and we got to adjust coming out in the second half. And all through those losses, you hadn't seen that. You know, and even offensively, And you know, I would go back to the Super Bowl when the way the Patriots were playing McVay and the offense, there was lack of adjustments in the second half that, you know, you would think, okay, this is something we hadn't seen, so now we've got to adjust what we're doing, and they didn't do that. And both sides of the ball this year seems that they're having trouble adjusting to what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to step up. Everybody's got to step up. You can't be hanging around like drapes. you got to go in there and you got to do what you have to do and get the job done, especially defense, offense, and special teams.
You also talked with Justin Herbert about the Chargers' lack of continuity.
Yeah, we talked with Justin Herbert because on Sunday afternoon, I should say, I mean, the Chargers just looked totally discombobulated at times. They didn't look in sync at times, and the lack of consistency really has cost them the last couple of games at home. So I asked Justin, like, what does he feel about the lack of continuity? How do you get that change and get ready for a big Sunday night showdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Here's what he had to say about that.
Well, I think it's year one of a new offense with everyone coming together, for people from you know, different teams, and year one is obviously going to be tough, and there's no continuity from last year, and so you have to learn an entirely new offense with a bunch of brand new guys, and you know, I feel like we've done a good job of coming together, and obviously there are going to be growing pains, but you know, I feel like the guys show up and they give their best effort every day, and we're going to keep getting better, and we're going to keep emphasizing that, so I think we're right where we need to be.
Right where we need to be. Fred, you've been in this town a very long time. Do you think this team can turn it around sooner than later in order to make that push towards the playoffs with about seven games or so left?
Well, Nick, I'll tell you, I hope so. Austin Eckler was on the challenge last Sunday, and he said it best. We're on the fence. We've been here before. I've been here before since I've been in town. We can either tip one way or the other, and it's up to us to determine which way we're going to tip. After that great start, they've hit that little speed bump now. But the whole league this year has, you know, on any given Sunday. I hope they have the ability to turn it around. I think it'd be great if they made the playoffs. I think it'd be good for the franchise. I actually think it'd be good for the city and really good for Justin Herbert. What do you think, Rodney?
Yeah, it'd be great if both teams were able to make the playoffs, especially the Chargers trying to have that foothold here and try to get their fan base up in L.A. But I don't want to put it all on Justin Herbert. He's still developing as a second-year quarterback. What concerns me is the same thing that concerns me about the Rams. The strength of this team is the defense. And the defense for the Chargers, they've given up a lot of yards, a lot of points, and they got to get that straight, because you can't expect your as talented as he is, your second-year quarterback, to get into and be involved in shootouts week in and week out.
Yeah, and I also have to question the play calling for Joe Lombardi, too, because I have to look at that as far as the plays that you're actually calling for, Justin, and making sure you have the proper personnel to be able to execute those plays, especially when you're building that offensive line. The offensive line's got to hold a little better than what they've been doing in order for Justin to get the ball off and get it to where he needs to get it to as far as the targets that he's trying to pick.
All right, Nick, thanks for coming on. Our buddy Nick Hamilton, the proprietor of Nightcast Media. You can follow him on Twitter at NickHamilton213. Nick, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Happy Turkey Day, if I don't talk to you before.
This Thanksgiving, spice up your turkey with the bold, rich flavors of paprika, garlic, and more in Chef Marito's Turkey Seasoning. This holiday season, find it at your Super King in the meat department or seasoning aisle. We're back to wrap things up.
Daddy.
Bye, Daddy.
Maybe you're heading out of town.
I need to get the hell out of here.
Here's the thing.
You're never truly away from Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, Rogan and Rodney, and Petros and Money.
Together.
Just go to AM 570 LA Sports on the iHeartRadio app. Listen to live shows, podcasts, and catch up on anything you missed.
Best friends forever.